Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith, and hope. Discover more interviews at openhousecommunity.com.au.
There'll be a showdown in the party room tomorrow afternoon. Whether or not to stay with the policy of a plebiscite, that is, a poll of Australia, a non-binding poll, mind you, it's not a referendum, it's a plebiscite, it's an opinion poll. People who are opposing marriage equality, as it's become known, feel, as I understand it, that a plebiscite is their best bet. So let's have a listen to what Senator Dean Smith has to say. He is the senator who has proposed a private member's bill. Now, he's a Liberal senator. He comes from Western Australia. He wants same-sex marriage, passionately believes that it needs to be legislated for. And here's what Dean Smith said on Insiders today to Barry Cassidy.
None of the other bills have more comprehensively dealt with the issue of religious freedoms or religious protections. And might I just add this point? This is a coalition-led bill. People cannot be guaranteed that if a future Labor government is elected, these religious freedoms will be there.
All right, so that's Senator Dean Smith, the one who's proposed a private member's bill. He was speaking there with Barry Cassidy on the ABC's Insiders program today. Now, we've been trying to get a hold of this bill for days. This afternoon, they finally released his bill. I do know the game they're playing. They want to give very little time for this bill to be scrutinised. So the question for Open House tonight is this. If this bill ends up before the Parliament, what religious freedoms are there to make sure that even if there is same-sex marriage, then same-sex couples will not be able to force, by law, someone opposed to that view to marry them in a church, for instance? Martin Isles is the Managing Director of the Human Rights Alliance. Martin is a lawyer and he joins us. Good evening, Martin.
Good evening, Stephen.
So this bill, which I've kind of skimmed through, it does have some protections for religious organisations and in particular for churches.
Yes, some protections. I think you've put that exactly right. It's called the Marriage Amendment Definitions and Religious Freedom Bill, which doesn't quite roll off the tongue, but it's not quite what it says on the tin, unfortunately. It does change the definition, that bit's right. It does make it marriage as the union of two persons. So it's important to note that now the law says, the force of law says that's what marriage is now. But when it comes to the religious freedom claim, as somebody a little familiar with the human rights issues around religious freedom, I'm just not sure what definition of religious freedom they're going for, because the protections within it don't conform to a lot of the standard definitions of religious freedom. I mean, for starters, you don't get any protections unless you are actually a minister of religion. Now, religious freedom, it's a human right. It's something that goes to the conscience of all people as humans. Those people who are not religious celebrants don't have any protection. There's no protection for Christian schools, what they might want to teach about marriage, even if they might want to claim that marriage is the best way between man and woman. There's no protection for them to say those things. There's no protection for parents who might have concerns about safe schools or might be concerned about what their children might be exposed to at school. There's no protection even for what ministers of religion might want to teach and proclaim or have modelled out in their churches.
And it might be worth you just telling us what happened to the Archbishop of Launceston, wasn't it?
Archbishop of Hobart. Julian Porteous. Yeah, well, I mean, that's a classic case in point, and there's quite a few of these out there now. We've dealt with a lot of these cases, my organisation, but that one was the case of Archbishop Julian Porteous, and he put out a pastoral letter, and it was a description of the Catholic Church's teaching on marriage, what it is and why. And it was gentle, it was pastoral, as you might imagine, from an archbishop, and it went around to Catholic schools and it went to some other places as well. And there was a complaint lodged with the Equal Opportunity Commissioner down in Tasmania, and that complaint was accepted, and the archbishop was tied up for some, I think, 8 months in the process surrounding that before the complaint was ultimately dropped, unresolved.
So, and it was dropped because the person who brought the complaint was a Greens member and wanted to run for election, so they found themselves otherwise busy. So it was never actually dealt with, being the point of that story.
Exactly. It was never dealt with. And the law in Tasmania, unfortunately, is so general and subjective that you just don't know how that would have turned out. But, of course, there's a Presbyterian pastor down there now, Campbell Markham, who's fallen foul of exactly the same law in the last couple of weeks. And for what he has written on the issue of sexuality and gender and the church's teaching on the subject once again, and he's an evangelist in his church called David G, and also the church as a whole has been joined to this complaint, which has actually gone to the Anti-Discrimination Tribunal. So it's gone on a step further now than what the Archbishop's complaint did, and that's open and ongoing, and we don't know where that will land. And this is the latest in what, you know, a really long line of local and overseas examples of people who are suffering detriment and discrimination because of what they believe about marriage.
Now, the Senate committee that precedes the formation of this bill, the writing of this bill. I thought the Senate committee had said that it would find a way to protect religious charities, and that would include, of course, religious schools.
Yes, well, actually, I think you're referring to the Same-Sex Marriage and Religious Freedom Senate Committee.
That's right.
Which was had a few months ago. And I sat at that committee, and Dean Smith, Senator Dean Smith, was on that committee. And I and a number of others, including some really eminent experts, put to Senator Smith and the others on the committee the broad range of religious freedom concerns and free speech concerns that arise out of a redefinition to marriage. Those concerns were heard. I even supplied to Senator Smith, at his request, a confidential list of 15 cases that we've been involved in here in Australia that go to these issues. So they're fully briefed of those things. And in the report that they put out, they acknowledged that all of these things were very serious concerns, and that a comprehensive regime of religious freedom protections would be necessary to deal with the concerns. And that's just not what's here.
It's just not there. And likewise, we'd had some assurances along those lines from Tim Wilson, who's a lower house member,
right,
who is proposing this bill.
Well, that's right. Tim Wilson says those things, that he's a friend of free speech and the friend of religious freedom, but there's a line in the sand, it seems, that he and Dean Smith and others are not willing to cross. And what you end up with is a very narrow protection. You really find yourself living under the very narrow exemptions of law, which are flimsy, which don't go very far, and which really actually wouldn't cover people like you and I. It would only cover people who are religious celebrants and parents with kids in schools, Christian schools, movements, religious charities, organizations, small businesses that have Christian characters and ethos. All these things are not covered. I mean, I even think of a counsellor, for example, who's in trouble on this line, because, of course, in his counselling work, he has convictions about what's best for a healthy life and healthy sexuality. And so he's now under real pressure in his work. And there's a school teacher who was disciplined and stood down because he posted on Facebook in his own private time about his beliefs on marriage. And I could keep you all night with these examples. And these are local Australian examples before the law has even changed.
Yes.
So it's a real concern. You know, nobody's just making this up.
No one's making it up.
It's a live example.
Yes. Martin, final question. Is there a way that you could envisage same-sex marriage was legislated for, but in a way which genuinely protected the human rights of people of religious conviction, be they marriage celebrants, ministers of religion, or cake makers?
Look, my personal opinion is no. I would say this. I think that there's a way to do it in a much more comprehensive fashion than this bill has, that's for sure. There's a way to do it in a much safer manner that includes far more protections. That's definitely possible. But we need to realise that when it comes to the issue of marriage, it's what international law calls the natural fundamental group unit of society. So it's the smallest possible grouping of people in any society that the law defines. And it defines how gender and sex are related to society at large. It's a very significant and fundamental law that reaches out into community, that reaches out into family, that reaches out into whole issues of how human societies are ordered. And so when you change that law, you actually wind up changing the way we understand family, changing the way we understand sexuality, changing the way we understand how we should speak about these things and what's right or wrong about these things. So it's so profound that I'm not entirely sure that it's possible to change that law and protect everybody at the same time. I just don't think it is. But there is definitely, if you had to change it, there's a much better avenue than this.
We'll leave it at that poignant spot. Martin Niles, thank you very much.
No worries, Stephen, my pleasure.
Martin Isles is the Managing Director of the Human Rights Alliance. Well, that's just a sign of what could be ahead of us, and I would say that even if you are a supporter of same-sex marriage, and you may well be, many Christians are not, but even if you were a supporter of same-sex marriage, to be left with a bill that is tailor-made to create enmity in our society seems to be the worst of all outcomes. I'm really surprised at this bill, and literally we just got it this afternoon because we've been asking all week and they have been sitting on it. I want to check in with the Christian School Movement, and Mark Spencer is the Head of Policy for Christian Schools Australia. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening, Stephen. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So what are Christian schools seeing? I mean, we'd actually had some assurances from Tim Wilson that Christian schools would be protected in this matter.
Yes, and we've only seen a copy of the expanded for the bill again late this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It is, as Martin's point out well, I think it doesn't stick to the name on the label. It doesn't provide the sort of protections for religious freedoms we were hoping for, we were expecting. It provides very narrow protections, basically focused around the actual ceremony, the marriage ceremony, the solemnization of the marriage, whether it protects ministers or celebrants or other religious bodies, but only in relation to the actual ceremony.
Well, though, from a Christian school perspective, what is the relationship? Draw out for me the nexus of the problem if there's same-sex marriage in legislation and schools don't believe in that from a biblical perspective.
Well, marriage itself is more than a ceremony. I think we all acknowledge that. That's a great part of it. It's an enjoyable part of it. But it's a lifelong commitment. Marriage is a lifelong commitment. In the same way, religious freedom is a whole-of-life commitment. It's not just about exemptions around the ceremony itself, but it's about, for Christian schools, what staff model in their lives and their lifestyle, what we're able to teach our students about God's best plan for their lives, whether it be as singles or whether it be in marriage, as we understand it between a man and woman, as God designed it. And that's our concerns, is whether we will still have the ability to teach and model those particular very traditional, very uncontroversial Christian values.
Well, this bill goes nowhere near to answering those questions, and it rather seems to invite people to start objecting to what their children are being taught. Talk to me about some of the cases you already know about, given there isn't a same-sex marriage law, but what are some of the cases that already occur in schools when they come to teaching kids about biblical marriage?
Martin's already talked about the cases in Tasmania under the legislation there.
Mm-hmm.
We've certainly had situations overseas where Christian schools in other countries which have already legislated same-sex marriage are finding it increasingly difficult to be able to teach a biblical view of marriage to students. They are being confronted and hauled before various courts and tribunals. And the legislation in Australia, it's very much state-based in a large degree around this. And unless we've got that federal protection to actually allow us to have the sort of discussions we want to have, and we could find ourselves before the, for example, Victorian Civil and Administrative Tribunal.
Yes.
Or other equivalent bodies in other states.
So does Christian Schools Australia now have a policy position that you'll be putting to the parties, or in particular the Liberal Party, before tomorrow's meeting?
We've expressed our concerns about this particular bill to both the Education Minister, the Attorney General, Senator Fawcett, who chaired the committee, who I think has been verbal a little bit in terms of the purported support of this bill, the committee's outcomes, and to Tim Wilson himself, who we've had a good working relationship with him during his time as Human Rights Commissioner.
Yes, some very frank exchanges, and he spoke last year at the Christian Schools National Policy Forum, was well received. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. Mark Spencer, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Stephen.
That's Mark Spencer. He's the Director of Policy and Advocacy for Christian Schools Australia.